How many believe that the Lord is still the same yesterday, today, and forever? Do you believe that? I believe that. We talk about wanting what God wants. God wants what the Holy Spirit causes us to want. And with all of these desires, we make our desires known to the Lord, and He meets our needs. I want you to take your Bible with me today. Look in Matthew chapter 16. And I want to talk about one of my favorite subjects. My favorite subject is Jesus. Amen. That's my favorite. My next favorite is the church. Today I'm going to talk about both of them. I want to talk about the church that Jesus builds. We're going to read about it there in the 16th chapter of Matthew, starting at verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Who do men say I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets." But He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but My Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." The church that Jesus builds. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? To the Christian, we know Him as the Son of God, as our Savior, as our Redeemer, as the one who makes life so much different than what we knew before we found Him. To the sinner, if you're here today, you know Him or you don't know Him. We've all sinners saved by grace. It's not a disgrace to be a sinner. It's a disgrace to stay a sinner. You need to repent because the Lord is issuing that issue to us today. You've been to the foot of the cross or you haven't been there. You've had your sins washed away or you haven't. But the reason for the church is for you to find the Master, to find Him as Lord and Savior, and bring Him into your own life. Now, these men had been out with Jesus these 2.5 years or so. They saw His ministry. They saw the miracles happening. They were blessed, but Jesus wanted to know about what they thought. And so He took a little inventory. Who do men say that I am? They began to relate different things. You realize what Jesus means to some or what they're saying about Him. If they're not a Christian, that's immaterial. Really doesn't matter what they say. But Jesus wanted to know what these disciples were saying. Well, they said, they say that you are Elijah. For you see, Elijah was one that did many prophets. And of course, Jesus did many prophecies of miracles. He did many examples of what Elijah was doing because he was a miracle worker. And one of the others said, "You're Jeremiah." Well, Jeremiah was the weeping prophet, very compassionate man. Well, Jesus was a compassionate man, a compassionate Lord. In the 9th chapter of Acts, verse 26, the Scripture says, "And when Jesus saw the multitude, He was moved with compassion." Jesus is compassionate every hour of our life. He cares about our needs. He cares about our lives. Another one said, "Well, you are John the Baptist." That was an ordinary thing for them to say, because they knew the ministry of John the Baptist as well. But John the Baptist was a compassionate man, yes, but he was also red hot with what he was saying. Hellfire preaching, he preached. He preached about the issues of life. He wanted them to know that there's repenting that has to be done. So he preached repentance. He preached the things that the people needed to know. Well, they said, no, there's something else. You're one of the other prophets. Well, Jesus is one who foretold. He prophesied about the future. He declared what was revealed to him. And so, yes, he was a prophet. Well, what all these men were saying was okay things. Sure it was. He was performing miracles. He was compassionate. He was preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was foretelling the coming events. All those things were okay. But any one of these things was not enough. You cannot fragment the ministry of the Lord Jesus. You can't splinter it up and say it's just this or it's just that. There are Elijah churches. Back in the 50s, we had those churches that were called miracle centers. You remember them? They advertised miracles in the church, and there was. And then along came the Jeremiah churches. They were compassionate. We're here to take care of the needs of our people in the community. And they were very, very much social ministry. Then, of course, there were John the Baptist churches. And still those churches that preach the gospel, declare the whole word of God, call for those to come forward to receive Jesus as Savior. Those are all okay churches. We have those. But you can't fragment the gospel by just picking out one type church and say, that's the type we are. That's what we are. No, it's all inclusive. The church is all that the Scripture speaks of. We reach all elements of our society. There are churches that don't want miracles. They will tell you, miracle days are past. That doesn't happen in the church now. We have churches that don't want hellfire sermons. Don't talk too strong. You scare people off if you start talking like that. There are churches that have no compassion, just us and our little congregation, that's all. Then there are churches that just sit with the Word. Don't do much with the Word, they just sit with it. Well, the church that Jesus built is all inclusive. It's not a consensus church. How many like it this way? Let's vote on how we like it. No, it's not that kind of church. Some like it, you know, hot, and some like it cold, some like in the pot 10 days old. It's not a popular vote of the people, the kind of church that Jesus builds. It's all inclusive of what the gospel speaks of. Jesus said, so what men are saying about me? Whom do you say? It's one thing what they say. Whom do you say that I am? And Peter had the anointed answer. Now, Peter had some majestic moments in his time that's listed in the Scripture. He also had some very dismal times. Opened his mouth and stuck his foot in it, didn't he? Right in this very same chapter. Chapter 16, over in the 21st verse. Jesus was saying to those disciples that it's time for me to go through Jerusalem and be afflicted by the men that don't like me, and the men of the church, and the priests and the scribes, and kill me. But I'll be raised up the third day. And Peter took him aside, the Scripture says, and he simply said to him, I'm going to rebuke you for those statements. It's not going to happen to you, Lord. It just won't happen. We're going to allow not it to happen. But Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You offend me." And he set him straight, said, "You don't understand what the will of the Lord is." Well, Peter says, when he was asked who this man was, Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And that's what the church says today. The church that Jesus builds, they lift up Jesus. We don't lift up the preacher. We don't lift up the board. We don't lift all the rich people up and say they support the church, and aren't we glad for those that support it? No, the gospel of Jesus is we lift up Jesus. Hallelujah. The message of the church is Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus in the songs we sing. Give me Jesus in the prayers we pray. Give me Jesus in church. Well, when you hear this Jewish boy say these things, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," he's not just coming out on script or on cue. He's not saying what he rehearsed. He's not Sunday morning chanting what someone told him to say. Not at all. Here's a man coming through with the answer. "Thou art the Christ." Well, this goes hands in hand with the things that we read in the scripture. Colossians 1:1, "In him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily." In John 1:2, "By him all things consist, and all things were made by him and for him." This is the Christ that was prophesied by the old prophet Isaiah, "Unto you your son is given, and he shall save his people from their sins." Hallelujah! The gospel is to save people from their sins. Get people ready for heaven. This is the Christ who appeared on Mount Olivet and instructed those followers to go back to Jerusalem and tarry until they be on high, and then go in all the world and preach the gospel. That's the message. This is the Christ that established the church and churches around the world. This is the Christ who's gone with missionaries to every part of the world. And the world now is being evangelized because of the commission of the Lord. This is the church that Jesus was speaking of. Well, Jesus responds to Peter's answer. What was it? He said, "Peter, you're a happy guy." Well, he didn't use those words. He called him blessed, but that means happy. You're a happy man. Do you know who Jesus is and what his purpose is? Well, Peter means rock. Simon means reed, blowing around with all the wind. But now he's a rock. Jesus changed his name from Simon to Peter. That's how we know him in the scripture, because his name was changed from Simon. And on this rock, Jesus said in verse 18, on this rock, no, not Peter. There's a very strong denomination that banks all of their beliefs that Jesus came along and just started the church because he said, "On this rock, Peter, you were going to build the church." Well, of course he said, "This rock," but he doesn't mean on the individual. On this rock of confession. On this rock of testimony. On this rock of trust. I'll build my church. And then Jesus said, "Yes, I will build my church on this confession." And that's how the church is built. On Jesus. On Jesus. Not personalities, not evangelists, not great, demonstrators of their great, wonderful ministry, but on Jesus. Jesus. On this rock, this kind of testimony, I'll build my church. Now I'm learning, after these 60 plus years in the ministry, to let him build what he wants to build. I know early in my ministry, I was elected to a church where they had a young man And we called him, those that knew him best, Mr. Ipana, because he had an Ipana smile. You remember toothpaste used to be Ipana? Well, he had the brightest smile anybody could have ever had. When you talked to him, he was all ears. He heard you. He was reverend pastor, individual. I mean, he was there listening very closely. But he was elected to be the overseer of the youth department in Northern California District. And I'm elected to follow him in this church. They had a new building, town of 2,500 population, and I arrived with my young son, 6 months old, and my lovely wife, and we moved in, and I'm to pastor that church. And I wasn't very long in the ministry, and I had a lot to learn. First of all, he left his family in the town as he moved to Santa Cruz, and Mrs. Pastor's wife stayed. And no one understand that besides another pastor, but here I am trying to be the pastor of that church, and every service she had to stand and say something. She had to be recognized. She made the announcements for me before I asked her to do it. She was just I right there. She hadn't left, just her husband left. And I thought, Jesus, if you don't help me, we're really in trouble. We're really in trouble. And I made it a matter of prayer. Lord, don't let me react to this. That'd be the first thing these people would do, is throw me out deliberately. And so I made a matter of prayer. One night on a Sunday night service, I was kneeling here at the altar, and I was praying about that. Lord, you help me to react the way I'm supposed to. One of the deacons came over and knelt down beside me. And we prayed together silently a little bit. He stopped me from praying and he said, "Look at me." I said, "All right." I looked at him. He said, "I know exactly what you're praying about." I said, "You do?" He said, "It's all okay. We made it a matter of prayer too. We board members. We knew what you've been experiencing." He said, "Something good will happen." And it wasn't 2 weeks until the district office told that young man that was their new youth leader, "Move your family over here immediately." Oh, hallelujah. They became our close friends. They're fine people. She was just in the wrong pew. I tell you, the Lord will take care of you. I will build my church. And in this church I went to, up in the Modesto area, I realized I was under the gun to build his church. And I was out every Saturday from early morning till after dark, calling in anybody and everybody that went to that church and those that didn't go. I was all day long out there calling on people. "You're going to be in church tomorrow. You're going to be in church tomorrow. I'm going to look for you in church tomorrow." I wanted them to come to that church. Church is running about 125. It seated about 300, and it looked a little strange to have 125 in that kind of auditorium. I thought to the Lord, "I've got to follow this man, and I've got to be successful." Well, one Saturday night, and of course those days, a lot of preachers did the same thing, didn't decide what they were going to preach on till Saturday night, and then they preached it on Sunday. I learned that wouldn't work a long time ago, but that particular time I didn't. I was down Saturday night in that little office that was under the stairwell that went up to the balcony. I was in there in my little office, just room for a desk and a chair, and that's all the room was in that little room. And I'm praying and asking God to give me a message, and praying and reading the scripture, and I was reading the 16th chapter, and I came across that 13th verse. "I will build my church." I had a hallelujah shout in time. "I will build my church." I read it over and over. "I will build my church." Jesus is speaking. "I will build my church." I got so happy, I went out of that office, went down the aisle, down to the front. I went around the altars, and I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're going to build your church. Thank you, Lord. And I hit my ankle on one of the edges of that altar, and I said, ooh, 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 hallelujah. You're going to build your church. I was just shouting happy all the time. Now I can go home. I've got my message for tomorrow. He said he's going to build his church. I went home, and Ruby was asleep. I got my testament out, and I said, look at this. Look at this, Ruby, look. Yeah, what? I said, look what it says right there. I will build my church. She said, uh-huh, go to bed. But I didn't sleep much that night because I heard what the Spirit of the Lord was saying to me. Did you know God answered my prayer in a few weeks? We had one couple came in and got saved. And in the next 3 months, all their relatives, brothers and sisters, cousins, uncles and aunts, out of one tribe of family. And we gained 75 people in the next 3 months because Jesus building his church. Jesus will build his church. Will you start praying for your friends and your family and members of your body to bring them in and build the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. Well, you and I know who builds this church. The pastor tells us. We know it. We understand it. How many times has he blessed us with talking about reaching people, reaching people, reaching people? That builds the church when the congregation decides that Jesus will build it, but you're his voice. You're his message. You're your representative to reach those out there that need to be reached. And then I read the rest of what Jesus said to Brother Peter. The gates of hell shall not prevail. It, speaking of the church, the gates of hell shall not prevail it. Well, I had a picture, young preacher, years ago. I read that and okay, over here on the beautiful hillside, all green and lush looking, is the big, beautiful, white, shining, glistening building, and that's the church. And around that church is a great big white wall with a gate right there, brass maybe, right there. And that's the church. And the gates of... Ooh, I got to change my thinking what that church is. That's not the church. Those gates, Jesus said the gates of hell. Oh, I got to change my picture. I got to depict something else. That over there is a great big ugly black place with demons moving in and out. And around that is a great wall of defeat. And I'm seeing, and there's those gates. They're strong, they're mighty. But here comes the army of the Lord. Here comes the saints of God. Here comes the church. And we're coming against the forces of hell. And we break down the strong arm of the enemy of our soul. We break down the wall. We break down the gate. We enter in. We take charge. We find people that need to be delivered by the hand of the Lord. Hallelujah. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. Won't stand against it. We sometimes need to take charge of situations that are completely out of our control and turn it over to the Lord, but take upon us the ability to do what the Lord has called us to do. The church of Jesus Christ will move right in. What does the Lord say? He said, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatsoever you bind on earth should be bound in heaven. What you loose in heaven will be loosed on earth. I read that again. Oh, he's going to give us the keys. You know what keys represents? Just happen to have my key ring here. And on this key ring is a key to a Texas Ford. That's what they call them in Texas, the car I drive. And that means Don Merrill owns that key that fits that car out there in the driveway. Mine. I have the authority to to drive that car wherever I want to and whenever I want to, when I can afford the gas. I have the authority. That key gives me authority. Amen. Jesus said, I give you the authority over all the forces of hell. I give you the authority to go in against the stronghold of Satan. I give you the authority to challenge the evil powers of the enemy. I give you the authority to say some bound person with drugs, drinking, illicit love affairs and whatever else. I give you the authority to rebuke that kind of situation in the name of the Lord and claim victory for that poor captured soul. I give you that authority. We have the right to stand in the midst of all the forces of hell. And the gates are broken down and we enter in. We're going to redeem these people by the grace of God and by praying and by believing, by fasting, by claiming all the words of the Lord. And we're going to claim them for the Lord. I ask this congregation today, how many have had children that's been released from the powers of drugs and all the other things, and they're now living for the Lord? Anybody in the building? Oh, there's hands. There's hands going up. There's hands going up. Praise God. Praise God. And how many of you, moms and dads, have got young people and your heart is breaking every night as you pray, God, God, what can I do to get my kid back? What can I do to get him away from that kind of conduct? How many? How many? Look at hands across this building. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do to close this service. I'm going to ask those who have had a child delivered from drugs to stand up here with me. Come on right now. You've had a child that's been delivered from drugs, and you're so glad. You're so happy about it. Come on. Come on up. Don't be bashful. Come up here. Canvas time behind this altar, just behind it, facing the congregation. Come on up. Just stand behind the altar rails. Stand behind it. Come on. And then I'm going to ask this congregation, you that lifted your hands and said you have a child that's out there lost. It breaks your heart. It keeps you awake at night. You've done everything you know. Listen, prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. These people here witness what God has done. Come on, you come right now. You've got a child that needs deliverance. Come on down right now and stand in front of these people. Come on. Come on this morning. Let Jesus give you a prayer for that individual. Come on. Anybody else that's got relatives or cousins or you'd like to see them delivered from the powers of the enemy. It may not be drugs, it may be drinking, but they need God. They need God. Come and stand in front of these people. Face these, you folks that came in, face these people here. Yeah, all right, face these people. Are there others that'll come? You need God's power to help you in these troublesome times. Now, all the rest of you, stand with me, will you, please? And we're going to have a prayer session right now. And you back there in the pews, you pray like these folks are going to pray. Let's pray right now. Let's believe God together. Let's believe. Lord Jesus, we claim your promises on the authority of your word. We thank you.